God's word to the Song of Solomon. To the Song of Solomon, which in chapter 2. The Song of Solomon is after the book of Ecclesiastes, which is after the book of Proverbs. The focus of the sermon will be verse 10, the theme, which is come to Christ. But I'll be reading from verse 1 down to verse 13. Give heed to the very word of God. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay with me with flagons. Comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Christian brothers and sisters, how has your week been? How has your preparation for coming to the Lord's table that is set before you at this moment to partake in communion with Christ and with one another, how has that gone? Have you been laden with heavy burdens due to health or work-related tensions, struggles in keeping up with your young ones as you seek to guide them, to nourish them, to instruct them? They run you ragged. Has life burdened you with bills and financial strains? Worry about the economy. Worry about world conflicts and other uncertainties as you seek to ensure you'll be able to provide for your family. Then I say to you, come to Jesus Christ. Come away. And he will take your burdens. Come to Christ and find your true comfort and peace. Come to Christ and he will ease your pains and bring a healing salve to your wounds. As we look forward to partaking of the Lord's Supper this afternoon, we will consider this passage from the Song of Solomon. We will see the gospel invitation that is specific to the Christians. For this text speaks to those who are already in Jesus Christ. By extension, it should move those that have yet to see the sure mercies of Christ to then have them come to Him. And we'll see what our response should be. And as you see here in verse 1, the song begins with a description of Christ as He describes Himself. For He is speaking here when He says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Our God here condescends to compare Himself to those things that He Himself created. He is here drawing attention to His beauty and to His glory. Of all the flowers, most preferred, He compares Himself to a rose, to the delicate beauty of a rose. As we know that most women love roses for its fragrance, for their beauty, for how they smell. Here he speaks of being a rose of Sharon. Now this is possibly a region where the best of roses grew. And so he is comparing himself to the best of roses. And then he also says that he is the lily of the valleys. Have you ever looked upon a scene of endless lilies or roses growing out in the wild, and your breath is taken away by their beauty? Christ even says in the Gospels that He will rather be clothed with the beauty of the lilies than the richest of attire that King Solomon wore in the height of his riches and his own glory. And here we see Jesus Christ arrayed in all His beauty in contrast to that of the world. How can you pass up on such beauty? When we go out and we see beautiful flowers, are you not tempted to pluck them, to take them home, to kind of prolong that experience, that beauty in your own house? For Christ is saying, take me to yourselves. He shows by saying that He is a lily of the valley, that He is accessible to all as well. You see, He says He is a lily in the valley, which is easy to go and pick. He is accessible. He is not saying, I'm a lily in the top of the mountain that you have to scale and surmount to get to. He says, no, I am lowly, humbly here in the valley, offering Himself to all who would just come and take of Christ. And so He also invites those who are not in Christ, come, take me, take me. Look at verse 2. As a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. See how He compares His church, His bride, you who are in Christ. That she too is a lily as He is. And Christians have their beauty when they are conforming to Christ, resembling Him in service and humility. Are you conforming to His image in beauty? Have you been as beautiful as a lily? Lowly, humble, and shining forth the mercies of God towards you and towards others for them to see? As a lily among the thorns of the world, the church is to stand out, radiating the beauty and attractiveness of Jesus Christ, We are to be distinguished from the world as thorns are distinct from roses. Yet as Christ warned us, there will be wheat and chaff that grow up together. That we are to be in the world but not of it. The world with all the beauty that she tries to put forward. That we see here in Las Vegas when the lights and the allurement of the strip are lit up. The opulence of worldly riches. The attractiveness of worldly women. All of it artificial. Man-made. Vain. All of it, in reality, are thorns. Thorns. They are not the beauty of roses. In fact, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are a thorn. And as much as you may try to pluck a petal from the rose to cover your thorn, to mask your wickedness, it is all in vain. For if you're not in Christ, you are unattractive and undesirable because of your sins. For the Lord God said, "My eyes are too pure to look upon wickedness." And so, just as a florist prepares a dozen roses by shaving off the thorns, when Christ returns, he will remove the thorns from off his lilies and his roses and cast them into eternal fire. You need to come to Christ to escape eternal damnation. You need to come to Christ, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, whose beauty far outstrips the fake man-made beauty and attractiveness of the best that this world can offer, to escape your damnation. You are to come to Christ, to be clothed in His beauty, to be found acceptable in a sight of the Father. At verse 3, "As the apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sea sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." The voice is a new voice here speaking. This is the bride, the church. Here the church is now speaking. Who loves her groom, who loves Jesus Christ. Notice how the bride describes her beloved. He is as the apple tree among the woods. His fruit was sweet to my taste. I sit under his shadow. Are these your words to your Lord? Do you think of him in the same way? Now, going to an apple orchard is fun. You get to pick the apples and you're biting into their crisp, moist, juicy body and receiving that refreshing morsel. And that's a great experience if you've ever done it. Here, Solomon is saying, we find this refreshment in greater abundance in Jesus Christ. As Christ said to the Samaritan woman, "I have a water that will not allow you to thirst any longer." He gives us his word, which is moist and refreshing as living water in a dry, hot summer heat. He gives us the refreshing comfort of his Holy Spirit to lead us into all the righteousness of Christ, and who dresses us with the beauty of Christ through the process of sanctification and godly piety. He gives you the sweetness of his promises, sweeter than the sweetest apple. Oh, have you tasted of this apple tree, which you are invited to partake of? This is not a forbidden fruit, but it is indeed that tree of life, that if you are to take of this fruit of Jesus, you will live forever. As an apple tree that you find in the middle of the woods, after walking in the dryness and heat of this world, you just reach up, take. So as Christ says to you, weary one, come to me and take. Eat and you have eternal life. For Jesus is your tree of life. He invites you to taste of his mercies. So cast off the burdens of the world. Seek his kingdom and you shall find rest. Sit under the shadow of his delight. Taste the sweetness of Christ. This is a refreshing comfort that does not go away. It is not a brief shadow that shields you from the heat of the wicked. You see, the gourd with which Jehovah prepared for Jonah was to deliver him from grief. Do you recall that episode in Jonah chapter 4? In verse 6, it says this, "And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd." There are many who seek such relief and comfort from the Lord. Some find it in church or other spiritual activities. Yet it is a gourd which they seek, not the apple tree of Jesus Christ. For when the Lord tries such men and women by taking away the gourd, they curse at God. And therefore, they demonstrate that they only sought God for what they could get from him, but not for who he really is. And we see as much again here in Jonah chapter 4, verse 7 through 9, which says, "But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die. And said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, does thou do well to be angry for the gourd? And he, Jonah, said, I do well to be angry, even unto death." Christian, guard your hearts that you do not fall into Jonah's sin. As we read earlier in John chapter 4, his disciples saw Jesus speaking to a Samaritan and a woman on top of that. And Jesus, knowing what was in their hearts, prepared them for what was about to happen when all the Samaritan men came to see who he was and what he had to say. He prepared them by saying, the field is wide unto harvest. Here, Jonah was sent, and he wanted to deny mercy and grace to the wicked unbelievers of Nineveh. Oh, Christian brothers and sisters, do not let this truth escape you, that the gospel call of Jesus Christ is a free offer to all people everywhere. The gospel is a free offer to all people everywhere. And he calls people everywhere to come to him. God reminded Jonah this fact in Jonah 4, 10 through 11. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow. which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 120,000 people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? The Lord God made man. Can he not also invite what he made to come to his son? To extend mercy to them in Christ? This is why, brothers and sisters, we are called to share the gospel with others. This is why, brothers and sisters, you covenanted to win others to Christ. Do you withhold like the disciples would have, as Jonah attempted to do so? Or whether should you be like Solomon here? Come, see Jesus. And Christian, listen to his gospel invitation to you. Christ is our shadow that comforts us from the heat and weariness of sin. As when one walks a long distance under brutal heat of the sun, which we can all relate to right now. And he finds a great tree to find shelter and comfort. So is Jesus Christ. Elijah found such comfort after a long run from Ahab and Jezebel, after he had the evil prophets of Baal killed. 1 Kings 19:4-5. Notice the parallelism. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." So here, we sit under the shadow of his tree, and we are told, "Arise, taste your Savior." As a deer that pants for water, especially having outrun the predator, so is the refreshing shadow of Christ's mercies to cover us from our enemies and to restore our souls from the tragedies of sins. As the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ, told Elijah, "Arise and eat," he tells you, weary disciple of Jesus, "Arise, eat from Christ's tree, and your soul will be refreshed." And again, if you know not Christ, and if you are weary of the world, weary of the burden of your sins, you have taken notice that the journey that you are on at the moment in this point in your life will end with you in eternal punishment. Turn aside from the world. Turn from your sins. Turn to Jesus. Confess your sins against him. Repent and turn from your sins and wicked lifestyle. Believe on him, you shall be saved. You will find rest in the shadow of the tree of life. Now, verse 4 and 5, I will address when we come to sit at the table. But look here, verse 6. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Christian, notice the gentleness and tenderness of your Savior. With his left hand, he cradles your head. With the tenderness of a mother towards her newborn baby, or the gentleness that your husband showed you on the night of your marriage, he embraces you, Christian. His tender and loving embrace is unlike any other. All of the heads of his people are under his strong and mighty hand. He keeps those who belong to him and will lose none of them. The Christian returns the tender embrace of his right hand by embracing him even tighter with love. Oh, Christian, are you sick in love for Jesus? Do you return his embrace and squeeze him tight against your bosom, your chest, not wanting to let go? Again, here's an invitation to you, Christian. Be like Mary, who clung to a risen Lord, whom she thought she had lost to death, only to see him alive again. Is this your embrace of your risen Lord? I'm willing to let him go. As you cling to the Lord, the world comes by and says, why do you cling to him? Look what I have to offer to you. Come enjoy my pleasures. Indulge in my riches. Oh, Christian, you are to respond, but no, I have all the riches, all the pleasure, and all the love and more with my Savior, Jesus Christ. Get away from me with your counterfeit pleasures, your cheap knockoff riches, and your fake and false loves. I'd rather have the beauty of the rose of Sharon. And you, world, have nothing that can come close in comparison. I cling to Jesus, for I am sick in love with him. Oh, Christian, may this be your daily mindset. Cling to Christ. Do not let go of his embrace, no matter what kinds of temptations the world tries to distract you with. Now, brothers and sisters, we do sin and we do fall from into transgressions in violating his holy law. At times we grow cold in our love. Heed the warning that was issued in Revelation. Return to your first love. For when you are apart from him because of your desires to run after counterfeit pleasures, he will, for a moment, remove himself from you in chastisement because you have sought the embraces of another, embraces of lust. For what the world has to offer is nothing but lust. It's a drop of pleasure. So then Christ, you feel distant from him when you fall into these sins. And if you love him, you will feel this distance, this loneliness. You will cry out seeking the embrace of your Lord. As David, many times as we have read and sung in the Psalms, Lord, where art thou? Be not distant from me. Restore me. And so the Lord will bring you back by his Spirit. And by his Spirit, he will soften you so that you can confess your sins to him and repent. Then you will hear the voice of your beloved coming, returning, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills in great joy that you have recognized your trespasses and sins against him. And then you will be filled with great joy that he returns to give you his love, that real love. Christian, if you feel as if Christ is drawn away from you, if you do not feel his tender embrace, then examine yourselves. Judge yourselves. Where have you sinned and fallen and failed to confess? Have you something at odds with a fellow brother or sister? then confess it. Confess your sin against your brother or your sister. Restore that communion. For how can you seek communion with he whom you cannot see when you do not desire to have communion with him whom you can see? Confess your sins and repent, and you will hear the voice of your beloved. Come away also from the vanity of the world. Do not stay enthralled with the allurements of the world. Turn away from the pleasures of your flesh. Do not allow foul speech and words be as moldy blemishes upon your holy raiment. Cast off the leaven and come to Christ. Embrace him even as he embraces you. Do you see him, O weary Christian? Do you see him, O burdened sinner who has wallowed long enough in a pigsty? See him running towards you? Do you hear his voice calling to you to come? Do not ignore his call, but come. Oh, come and drink in the crisp, refreshing waters which Christ offers you. Here, verse 10, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Jesus is calling you. Oh, Christian, you are his beloved. Oh, Christian, you are his fair one. He offers his right hand and says, come away with me. The winter of death has passed. Come with me, sinner, and I will purge you of your sins with my blood and make you as white as snow. Come away with me, O sinner, and the floods of sin that have drowned you in death will no longer destroy you. Verse 11, for lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. And the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. See that Jesus Christ is your rainbow of promise. That if you embrace him as the ark of your salvation, you will not be destroyed nor tormented in eternal fire. Hear his voice as of birds singing upon the first dawn of spring. See his beauty as the rose that blooms and blossoms after receiving a soft and gentle spring rain. See how he extends his right hand to embrace you. Take hold of Jesus and come away with him. Fair one, beloved one, come away and you will receive his tender mercies, and he will bring you to his Father, and our Heavenly Father will embrace you as his adopted son and daughter. He will embrace you as a friend, no longer looking upon you as an enemy. And then he will ensure that you too can sit at his son's table. And you will know the baptism of the Holy Spirit as he comes and dwells in your life. O Christian, O sinner, come to Jesus and enjoy his beauty. Let us stand in prayer.